Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, July 7th, 2016. This is Payman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, your host for this weekly program. I founded Freedom Law School, folks, to help freedom-loving Americans live free. That was over 20 years ago. And folks, Freedom Law School is still going strong, educating and empowering Americans like you who seek freedom to live free. Folks, Freedom Law School has a very unique course of study for the average American to learn about the law and their rights. Not to become an attorney, but you as an American know about the law and your rights and the basic steps and procedures for you to live free of oppressive taxation and control. In addition, Freedom Law School can provide assistance if you need be in your quest for freedom with abusive government agencies like the IRS. Folks, I've provided a $300,000 income tax reward for, gosh, going back to 1999, over 17 years ago, to have anybody show the law that requires Americans to file and pay income tax. That's $100,000. Another $100,000 for anybody that can show me how you can fill out a 1040 income tax confession form without the government using that same form to put you in prison. And another $100,000 for anybody who could show me the 16th Amendment, the so-called Income Tax Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, was properly ratified, because it was not. Folks, the education you can get from Freedom Law School, some of it is absolutely given to you for free. Go to livefreenow.org and sign up for the free Freedom Education Package that will be mailed to you. We'll mail you multiple ones if you want. And you're going to get 1 year of free Freedom Law education sent to you by email once a month. That's right. Once a month, you're going to get free education that you will only find at Freedom Law School. And this is, folks, solid information, stuff that works, that will produce results for you, that will have you win. Okay, that will help you understand the law and your rights and feel confident and in peace when anything goes on with the government agents or agencies, that you know what's going on and you know what you want and need to do. Tonight, as always, I will be answering any and all of your freedom questions about the IRS, state income tax agencies, the police, bureaucrats of any kind. And then I'll be talking about the one of the questions I hear from time to time from patriotic Americans. They ask me, hey, Payman, I want to buy a home to live in. Or I want to buy a home as an investment. But to do that, almost always you need to borrow money from somebody, a bank typically, and the banks require a 1040 income tax confession form before they give you a loan. They want that as a means of verifying your income to give you a bank loan to buy a home. And these people tell me, well, I don't file a 1040 income tax confession form. Can I buy a house? Do I have a chance? Is there any way that I could buy a home without a 1040 income tax confession form? Others tell me, I don't want to use a slave surveillance number, the social security number. Some people don't have good credit. They have bad credit for different reasons. Maybe they had medical bills, things come up that they couldn't pay. So it doesn't matter, folks. You can buy a home to live or invest without a 1040 income tax confession form, credit, user your SS number, or even a bank loan at all. I will show you how you can do that, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. And then there's a course I have on that subject, which goes into a lot more detail. But first, folks, again, I'd like to suggest that you go to YouTube, check out Typing Joseph Bannister. He's one of our students at Freedom Law School. He was a former IRS special agent who defected from the dark side of the corrupt politicians and the government and big banks who ignore the Constitution, who ignore Americans' rights. He came to the side of with the people and exposed the fact that there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. And the government has not ever attempted to put him in prison for not having filed and paid income tax, even though he has not filed and paid income tax. All that, folks, and more will be sent to you at no charge. Just get in touch to us by going to our website at livefreenow.org. If you have an immediate situation, I'll be helping you on this commerce call first as free of charge, but also I'll be available otherwise if you need some one-on-one consultations. I could be made available as well. So let's go to your questions, folks. The summertime is here. You know, people are in a mode of vacation. 4th of July just went over, but still people in July love to go out there and go to visit the ocean, the beaches, the lakes, the mountains, the countryside, vacationing. So we don't have a lot of people on our summer commerce calls. For those of you who are calling, guess what? You have more time to ask more questions and get your questions answered in more detail. So with that, folks, I'm going to go to your questions one at a time. We have a caller. Call from area code 951 in California, not too far from I used to be. Down in Riverside, California, I believe. Call from area code 951. Do you have a question? If so, please give me your first name and then your question, please.
No, Payman, I'm basically listening in, but I would like to find out how you can buy a home. But I guess you're going to discuss that afterwards?
I'm going to discuss it anyhow, my friend. So hang in there. I'll be with you on that issue very shortly.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Now, I got another caller from Texas, from Austin, Texas area, who has a question. Okay. Do you have a question you want to ask me about, my friend? What's your first name if you have a question?
This is James. How you doing?
I'm doing great, James. And, James, I got the email you sent to Freedom Law School along with the paperwork for me to go over for you. Okay. Folks, you're welcome to fax, email, mail to Freedom Law School, up to 10 pages of any paperwork you want me to look at. I will look at it, answer it, and do my best to resolve your issue for you on this commerce call every week, free of charge to you. So James did send me that. I got the other callers waiting. So let's go to James's question, okay? So James, let me tell everybody else what's going on.
Okay.
So that they can benefit from your situation and your question as well. And James has sent me, he wrote me email to me. I'm going to try to shorten it for everybody else. Basically, James read the book, The Federal Mafia by Urban Schiff, the late, great Urban Schiff, one of the great grandfathers of the tax honesty movement, exposing the fact that there's no law requiring people to file income tax for Americans. And also a book by Cracking the Code by Peter Hendrickson. And other research on his own, too. So the man is a reader. The man is a thinker. The man is one that researches and think about things. So my hat's out to you first, James, because you are willing to read, my friend, and educate yourself and think. So that's very good. And so what James told me is that he sent a 1040 income tax return with no income or wages listed on there, along with some documents enclosed. And the IRS sent him a response back, just last month. And he's wondering, well, did he get himself in more trouble or not? And what perhaps should be his next steps? Is that good rephrasing of what your question is, James?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. So yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'm just newly being awakened less than a year ago.
Okay.
And my issue, I believe, is that I may have filled out the 1040 incorrectly, as my knowledge is, and I'm kind of wondering about repercussions when I go to this visit with the IRS at the end of the month.
Okay. Well, I understand what happened basically is that you work for somebody and they withheld some money from your paycheck. And
sure.
Then you essentially, to shorten everything for our other listeners, James, you are attached a letter to the 1040 income tax confession form. And in that you say that, hey, you did not have any taxable income or requirement to file a tax return. You know, you had no gain and no income. And so basically that's what you send in. And what happened is that you got a letter from the IRS in Austin, Texas. And this is a computer-generated automated letter. It's a form letter. It's the form letter number LTR4883C. For that's what they call it. Why is it numbered that? I don't know. The IRS folks, their agents, employees are not trained. They're not intelligent. Better than about, I would say about, yeah, over 80% of the IRS's workers are merely clerks. Just a clerk. They have less than 3,000 criminal investigators. And they have about 7,000 auditors and about 7,000 or so collection agents. Auditors try to assess or fix or determine amount of tax on you. And the collector's job is to steal your money. So when you add it all up, less than $20,000 of agents are actually in any way thinking kind of a people. So they have their IRS sends out a lot of these form letters. They confuse themselves oftentimes, the IRS, and send out the wrong form letters, actually. Yes, right, the wrong ones, you know. So sometimes they apply to you. Sometimes they do not. Sometimes they're on point. Sometimes they're completely off point. So people get these letters from the IRS and wonder if, you know, they are in trouble or not. Because, hey, after all, it's a letter from the credit agency that it really steals, otherwise called the IRS. In this letter, they tell James that they received this federal income tax return 1040 for your 2015 with the name and slave surveillance number. But before they do that, they want to make sure that actually James that sent it out. You know, I don't know why they would do that, but for whatever reason, that's what they said. I think it could be because they're thinking about making sure that it is his before they can impose a $5,000 penalty for what they claim to be a frivolous or legally baseless tax return by James. Okay. That may be their tactic because that way they get to verify that it is you after all that they're coming after you. But first, sure. Let me say this. You know, I don't disagree with Urban Schiff or Pete Hennigson on what these gentlemen say. Essentially, I think they're both correct. They both essentially say that the money that you receive for your work is not taxable. But the IRS has intimidated the company you work for to falsely tell the IRS that the money you were paid has been taxable. And essentially falsely forcing withholding of money out of your paycheck to send to the IRS. So thereby putting you in a situation to having to get your money back that was wrongfully taken from you and you want to get it back. And that's why James filled out the 1040 form saying essentially that the money he got was not taxable, that James was not required to file a return, but he is doing it only to get the money that was wrongfully withheld from his paycheck to get it back. So IRS, unfortunately, corruptly, along with the corrupt, you know, spineless judiciary, you know, ignore all legal points that good patriots like James bring up. And the label is frivolous and fine people. It used to be 500, but the IRS about 10 years ago raised that penalty from $500 to $5,000 per document or paper that the IRS claims to be frivolous. And I think that may be the reason why they sent this letter to you. I don't know. But I do know this. IRS, sometimes when people do these kind of 1040 returns, trying to get all of the withholding back, they either send the money to you right away, they refund the money that you're asking for, or they don't take an action, they ignore you, or they penalize you and fine you. The fact that they didn't give you a refund right away and send this letter tells me that is out of the question.
Right.
Very, very likely out of the question. So the only thing they may be going towards is a penalty on you. Again, some people, they do this stuff, it works for them. Some people, they don't. It's just a matter of luck of the draw of which clerk of the IRS opens up the mail and sees what you got. Some agents will process the return, the 1040 income tax confession form, the way whatever it says on it, they just agree with it and send out the refund. Some don't. Some take a closer look. They send it to a unit called what they call as unprocessable return units. The 1040 forms that are not properly processable, that's what they do. So that being the case, your case, I think, is probably in limbo before it goes to that unit. Asking what to do about it, James? If it was me, I would let it go. I would not follow up with it because what you did was a risky proposition, and it could have worked, and it sometimes has worked. I've seen Urban Schiff and Pete Henningsen and others, their followers, do this kind of stuff and get refunds back. Absolutely, it does work sometimes, but yours doesn't look like one of those that worked. So by following up with the IRS, you're probably just going to more likely, very likely, encourage for them to go toward the penalty part because now someone's going to be looking at your return closer. Up in closer examination, they're going to disagree with you. If it slips by, that's fine. But otherwise, it's probably going to be, you know, a fine. So I would probably just let that one go, James. That probably would be, in my opinion, the safer thing to do in this situation.
Okay, and I actually called the agent, and I had to call two of them, as you can see by the written notes on that letter.
Yes.
And I made an appointment for the end of the month to talk with an agent in Austin. Is this something I should cancel and not reschedule?
Well, you made an appointment with somebody to go see him in person, which was a mistake. Because the only thing they accept from you is a traditional 1040 income tax confession form, which I assume you don't want to file with the IRS. Unless you want to file a traditional regular tax return with the IRS, I wouldn't simply just not go there. If you call them, you might invite them to actually want to follow up with you a little bit more seriously. Because you get their attention, you're going to talk to them, they're going to talk to you. He's going to try to, in his opinion, talk sense into you. In their eyes, they think, to follow a regular income tax confession form. That's what they would try to say. So unless you want to follow 1040 income tax confession form the way the IRS likes it, James, I would just let it go.
Okay, but seeing how I made the mistake of making an appointment, what would you suggest my course be?
Sometimes no action is the best action.
Okay.
So just let it go. As far as this goes, let it go. They don't know if it's you. They're not going to process it. so they will not fine you $5,000. Just let this one go. Educate yourself for future years, for 2016, 17, and forward. That's what I would focus on. You know, sometimes you just got to let bygones be bygones. It would be nice if you could get the money back. The IRS will not give the money back to you. They only may give you part of your money if you fill out the regular income tax confession form. You know, you may want to focus next time in the future, have a situation where money is not stolen or given to the IRS in the first place for you to get it back. It's a lot easier to give the money to the thieves in the first place than to try to get it back.
Right, and my employer won't accept any changes to the W-2 until January.
Actually, they're supposed to allow you to do that because you can change it at any time. Even the way the IRS sees it, for whatever reason, you know, you may want more or less withholding from your paycheck. So that should not be, you know, your employer sometimes, as you noted, sometimes they stick their noses in the middle of this equation and situation and questions when they should not be doing that. And that's a political issue between you and your employer that I know you are going to want to handle carefully. But it's one that you're going to at least try to get established some communication about the law and your position.
Okay. So as I understand it, my best course of action at the moment is to not accept phone calls from them and to ignore it and proceed with my life.
Yep. And plan for the other years. Educate yourself. Plan 2016, 17, and forward. You know, that's what I would do. If you have not you got any of our courses or freedom packages, this would be a good time for you to consider getting those. It looks like you've done a lot of homework already on your own for free, which is good. You know, and we provide a lot of free information at Freedom Law School also. But, you know, at the end, somehow, you're going to need some assistance, further education, one-on-one consultation. You may want to do a one-on-one consultation with me. You know, ideally, most people want to get the Royal Freedom Package, but you don't have that. You can go to a Simple Freedom Package, Beginner's Freedom Package, or even a Quick Start Freedom Package. Quick Start is a level one course of Freedom Law School, over 20 hours of education on audio, over 200 pages of paperwork, and an hour with me privately one-on-one to go over your particular questions in more detail, slowly and privately. You might want to do that. But I think at this point, you're ready to take the next step going forward because you look like you're serious about this. You have, since the last year, taken a good amount of time to educate yourself. I can see that by what you wrote, that you pay attention to what you're doing, to details, that you seem to understand what you're doing. And you did pretty good, relatively, for someone being at the movement for 1 year. You really did, honestly, James. I think you're ready now to go to the next step, my friend.
Sweet. I appreciate that. I thought I was just
No, you're welcome,
time.
Because believe it or not, some people don't read much. You know, and when you came across in law school, also you took the time to say, hey, let me get a second opinion from somebody else. You know, that shows me your humility. You know, now your willingness to research and look things up, you're also open to being wrong. You're also into improving yourself. You're open to being correcting yourself and get even better by reading Irving Schiff, Pete Hendrickson, Freedom Law School, anybody else out there. That's the kind of attitude we need more in America, that people are willing to continue to learn and educate themselves. And if they're correct, to correct themselves. I had to do that in the early years several times. Later on, as I got better, I didn't need to be corrected as much, you know, because I learned a lot of my lessons in the early years. Well, you're still going through your early years, my friend. And so, James, what I want to do for you is to prevent you from having to learn those mistakes the hard way, okay? And the easy way to learn mistakes is by having books, courses, and direction of others with more experience like myself who can help you avoid those mistakes and help you take the right steps for the best results for you.
Sure.
Okay. So have you got you signed up on our website for in our email list?
That'd be fine.
Have you done that yet or no?
I have not yet, but I can do that.
No problem. Do that, my friend, and be in touch with us. Every commerce call, Tuesday night, I'm here to help you, my friend, at no charge. And so if you have, unless you have more questions, I'm going to go to the next caller, my friend, okay?
Sure, go ahead. Is there a radio station where I can tune into this in Central Texas, or just by conference call only?
Just go to conference call, blogtalkradio.com. One of the things that's in the plans I plan to do, by the way, James, if all of you, is I plan to have this conference call become a video conference, like, you know, on YouTube, that type of thing. Get video going at the same time where you guys can see me. So that's in the works. The mechanics of it is being worked on right now. So right now it's blogtalkradio.com/freedomlawschool. But we'll be getting that video going pretty soon, maybe with a different provider. But the link will be on our front page of our website always about the Commerce Call or the Medium. Will I'll be in touch with you guys, and you guys can hear me talk and address questions about freedom and other related issues.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, very good. My friend James, let's go to our next caller from area code 706. Do you have a question? Call from area code 706. If you do, tell me what state you're calling from and your first name.
Okay, first name is Ray, calling from Georgia. And after the defeat of the person in California on the proof of why he needs to file an income tax and him losing that case last week,
yes,
it sounded as though on the conference call that you were saying it looks like we're going to have to go to the legislature to get things changed. And I haven't filed income taxes since the year 2003. Anything past that, I haven't filed an income tax.
Okay.
I'm not being pursued by the IRS at this time. They did try to audit me in 2006 for 2001 through 2003. And then every time they would write me a letter, I would write them one back asking for more information from them. And finally, in 2012, I got a letter from them telling me that they accepted my 2001 through 3 taxes as filed. So, but what my concern is that I'm going to be coming into a considerable amount of money from business dealings that is sizable enough that they will not ignore, I'm sure. And my question is really, has anyone that's ever dealt with you guys ever switched from defending against Title 26 and gone to Title 15 and had any success or failures that you're aware of?
Well, not with Freedom Law School, but I can tell you other organizations and people have tried doing things like that. And again, they don't work. Doesn't matter what your argument is. Not because your argument may be wrong, but because of the fact that the courts are corrupt and don't want to talk about that. Title 15 is about commerce and trade in the United States. But commerce and trade has nothing to do with taxes. And what's happening out there, Ray, you know, there's a lot of misinformation in the freedom movement. And one of the arguments is about that taxes all have to do with the Uniform Commercial Code, a commercial aspect of the government and commerce. But that's simply not so. Taxes are based upon force, pure and simple. End of story. Just like the War of Independence of the South, when Lincoln imposed a war on the South, who had every right for independence, and he subjugated them and burned their homes and fields and farms and animals and killed their people. It was all force. Lincoln at one time was even considering arresting Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Taney. Why? Because he could. Because he had the power. So, no, Title 15 does not have anything to do with the Title 26. Do you have any other questions? But if you come in with a sizable, you know, situation you got and you're wondering what your options are, you probably want to do a private one-on-one, more detailed, slower consultation with me so I can go over your situation and explain your options, your risk, rewards, and benefits and costs in a way that you can make an intelligent decision how to go forward from here forward in a safe, prudent, wise manner.
Yeah, my concern is this. I mean, it appeared that you were pretty high and confident before this guy went to that final week of his case and they found him guilty.
Yes.
That he was going to actually win that case. And
yes.
The bad thing about it is when you do try and attempt to go into the courts, and I've personally seen firsthand how crooked the courts are. And, you're playing Russian roulette when you go and try to defend yourself in a tell-me-where-the-tax-law-is case. Because, now this guy, I'm sure he believed in what he did. He may have had a great case. But, what the judge would allow and what was given to the jury, and the mindset of the jury would put him in a position that if he loses – wow, he's going to be going to prison for a long, long time. And, if I come into the money that I'm expecting to come into, from a pure financial standpoint, I would be better off trying to get all the years that I didn't filed and taken care of and get out of the way of harm from the IRS and the government, purely from a financial point, although I believe strongly that we don't owe the income tax.
Well, let me address your question, what happened there, okay? I'm a pretty positive guy. I believe we look at our life in a positive way. Sun comes up every day. I'm thankful to be alive, have a family. Americans still compared to a lot of places, a lot more freedoms. So, but things don't always turn out perfectly. But I believe if you're going to get ahead in life, you got to have a realistic, positive outlook on life. Having said that, unfortunately, Mr. Grant wasn't working closely with me anywhere like I really wanted him to be. Okay. And, I'm still trying to help him out, but it's up to him to work with me. Now, I didn't put that out there because I was hopeful that I could bridge those communication issues. But rather than getting a lawyer that Freedom Law School wanted and knew and had experience working with, he got another lawyer, which I heard good things about, but I never worked with before. Okay? So when I tried to work with Mr. Grant and the new lawyer, and we worked some, but the lawyer wasn't really working with me closely like I wanted to, and I think it needed to be done. But and most of the work that needs to be done, the most critical work, is at the trial and very shortly before that. Well, again, it wasn't happening, and I was hopeful that it's going to change, and it didn't. Okay, so the problem was that this was not a case for Freedom Law School executed. It's Freedom Law School was involved, but this person, didn't do things right away. I mean, I give an example. Mr. Grant came to Fortitude after he was charged to meet with me. He was here for a few days, saw his family members, was less than 3-hour drive away from me, but didn't come see me in the meanwhile to talk to him and prepare him and go over things. He came all the way from California out here. So, it's not like I didn't want to work with him, but I cannot make him do that. It's up to him. And I was at his trial. We talked. We went over things out, and he still hasn't called me, even though he knows I'm available to help him out. So there's a difference when I can handle things at Freedom Law School the way it should be done, that needs to be done to make sure the person wins. And I'll tell you something else about that Russian roulette you say. The IRS has never charged me criminally. I've been at this since 1992. I found that back in 1995. The IRS had me, 95, 96, I found about that time, yes. The IRS had me under criminal investigation for about 2.5 years, starting in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've been under investigation of all kinds, criminal, non-criminal, abusive tax shelter promoter, all kind of stuff. You see it in my Freedom Catalog. Back in 2003, they contacted me as a abusive tax shelter promoter, and the IRS backed off. About 7 years ago, I requested a copy of my files, over 8,000 pages, They had admitted on me a big, huge dossier, like a communist KGB they had on me. Yet they, after a year and a half of delay to black out and take out pages, they gave me only less than 1,000 of it. It took them that long. And still, they haven't come after me criminally or anything otherwise. Hey, and I'm a bigger target than you ever will be, right? Why? Why are they coming after me? Is it because the IRS doesn't want to get me? In my tax court case, it showed that the IRS, there were meetings, these guys had big meetings to conspire against me as an IRS auditor and her manager, IRS collection agent and his manager, abusive tax shelter promoter agent and her manager, an IRS lawyer and his manager. All eight of these guys get together to talk about me on a regular basis, to conspire against me, to try to get me. In fact, they know me so well, they call me by my first name, Paymon. Not by my last name, like normally you call people. They know me by my first name. One of them emails to another one about me that says, oh, yeah, that's the Paymon I know. They want to get me. How come they haven't got me? Because I prepared myself. Because I know what I'm doing. Because I know do it right. The facts speak for themselves. The record speaks for itself. Joe Bannister, who quit filing a pay income tax, 99 was it last year. The IRS made a foolish mistake of coming after him and indict him for tax charges, but not the so-called crime of having not filed 1040 income tax confession form. Uh-oh, they didn't charge him with that. Because they knew they would lose on that. Because they knew Joe Bannister did his homework. They came after him for other stuff somebody else did. And they're trying to connect Joe Bannister to that other guy named Al Thompson to get Joe Bannister that way. Because when Joe Bannister got, I heard about him being indicted. I told myself right there, it was about midnight, I said, that's going to be a defeat for the IRS. And I knew it. And I knew it 100% because I knew Joe Bannister well. I know him well. I know what he did not do. I know he did everything right. He was intelligent, done his homework. And I knew the IRS would lose, and they did lose. Because Joe Bannister had done his homework right. See, so, you know, this is kind of like people like, I remember my brother back in, I'll give another example of that. You know, back in the early 80s, my father sent us from Iran with over $100,000 of 1976 money to invest in America and save when my brother went to university here. My brother put it in banks and then, I told him, look, Elmi, put the money in mutual funds. Some better investments make a higher return. And his response to me was, well, if other things besides banks are good, then everybody would be doing it. Well, I was thinking that's a dumb answer, you know, because everybody doesn't know the same thing. Everybody does not read the same thing. Everybody does not prepare them the same way. This last caller, James, I can tell already by my short conversation with him, that guy, I will not have a problem. Because that James is from Texas, is willing to do his homework. He did his homework on his own in less than a year, here at Urban Shift Book, and Peter Hankson book, and came across Freedom Law School, and he thought about, let me get a second opinion, and he took his time to call the Commerce Call. Now you say, oh, well, everybody would do that. No, they don't. There's a lot of people in the freedom movement, patriots that heard about Freedom Law School, don't contact me. Don't call on the Commerce Call. Don't get my courses. They think, oh, I know it all. I don't need to. Why should I pay anybody to get a course? Why should I join one of his programs? I want to do it on my own. I'm smart. I can do it for free. This guy on his website is it for free, only for $100. You do this thing. Everybody wants it free and cheap. I know that. So do I. We all do. But they don't. But if they've done the homework like James has done, to realize, wait a minute, this guy looks like he knows a lot better than me. You know, I better, you know, go check it out more closely. And I better get somebody that really has track record of success over 20 years. so I don't get in trouble myself. I do it the right way. You see? So that makes a difference. If you go to our website, you'll see a lot of success that Freedom Muscle have. I've zeroed out my own case. IRS came after me for $700,000, Ray. They assessed against me illegally as hell. Illegal as hell. You know how illegal it was? IRS agent was outside of my house, saw six cars parked there. He was there just one day for who knows, 10 minutes, half hour. I wasn't home.
Yeah.
Based upon that, he went to his office and assumed that those six cars belonged to six employees of Freedom Law School. Why? Well, because he ran those plates on the DMV and said those plates did not come up to belong to me or one of my, what he called, known relatives. Based upon that, he assessed me employment tax. These are employees of me, not for 1 month, not for 1 year, but for 11 years. Talk about ridiculous. You come across someone's house, there's six cars parked out in front of his house one day. You don't know who it belongs to. He has friends over, other family over, party, whatever, neighbor's cars. He assumes it's all your employees going back over 10 years. It still took me close to 3 years of battle with this crooked IRS agent and his manager, and then the IRS appeals officer, a second IRS appeals officer, and the IRS lawyer. To finally, the IRS appeals officer, the second one, agreed with me. I was right, zeroed out the tax. The IRS lawyer and the judge agreed with it and zeroed out, and they erased pages and pages of tax liens that were filed against me. A lot of people get the same kind of stuff. They don't know what they do. They lose. It's not a matter of crapshoot. It's a matter of doing your homework. And I'm sorry that so many other people and so many of the leaders in the movement didn't do the homework, including my late great friend Irvin Schiff. I had met Irvin Schiff back in like 1994 or 5. I mean, when I was newer, I thought, man, the great Irvin Schiff. I met him through my friend Bill Drexler. And I became friends with Irvin Schiff later on, visited him in his office in Las Vegas. And when they were coming after him, I tried to tell Irvin, let me help you. Let me help you. I know some of these really good paralegals, the attorneys that I work with that taught me. We all want to help you. You're the biggest. You're the biggest leader. Let's help you to win.
I know. I got to be. They got no case. I can be.
Okay. Hey, look, I can't force you to take my help. You know, you're confident you can do it all by yourself. You're a sovereign, free, independent adult. It's your life. Right? I couldn't do that. You know, Lynn Meredith, another leader back in the early 1990s, I knew her. We were both, you know, spewing out the sovereign citizenship theory. And I found out that was the wrong theory we were both teaching. She didn't like that. She thought I was attacking her, which I wasn't. Okay? I wasn't trying to attack her at all. I was talking about the theory that we both were teaching, me too. And then she kept doing her own thing, got charged. I was one of the few people who had a trial to be able to support her, and she got convicted. Okay. Hey, I can't force her to let me help her. Neither I could force Richard Grant. You know, for whatever reason, people don't like me sometimes. They say, who is this Iranian guy? Oh, you know, from Iran? You know, Iranian teaching Americans about the Constitution? And some people say, oh, he's Jewish. I'm a Jewish-born anti-Zionist myself, but they don't know that a lot of times. They say, oh, because a lot of their crooked Zionists out there, you know, the big banksters are Zionists. I'm not one of them. So they don't trust me for whatever reason. Like, I don't know. So they go with somebody else, do something else. You know, I can force them to work with me, but Tracker of Freedom Law School shows what we do at Freedom Law School, what I do works. You know, so I suggest to everybody, don't believe the government or me or anybody else on the internet. Look up and verify things in the law library. It's all plain English. And I'm always willing to be learned. Just let me tell you something interesting. Just last night on Facebook, somebody told me about the law, which I kind of knew about the law, but kind of forgot about it. And he said there's 18 U.S.C. I think 3332 I think that says anybody can write to a grand jury to report a crime. And the grand jury, you know, the U.S. attorney must give your complaint to the grand jury to look into it. Because I've been posting about Clinton. You know, she's a, you know, she broke the laws, hands down. All this stuff about not charging her is a bunch of nonsense. She just outright broke the laws, obviously. No intent is required. None. Okay, she just took classified material out of government offices. That in itself, boom. She is guilty. You took government classified stuff out of our government's control by itself. So he put another law to me. I thought, oh, thank you. I told the guy who told me about it, thank you for putting it out. Then he told me, oh, you got to do an affidavit. I looked at the law. I wrote back to him, nope. I quoted the law to him. The law says information. Information is enough. So he taught me something, and I got to be corrected and become better. And then I helped him. I corrected him and helped him become better. And that's what it's about, my friend. And unfortunately, Ray, that kind of attitude is unfortunately kind of rare. I don't see enough of that. I see it in James. He is open mind learning out. I hope you want that. But that's what it is, my friend. You know, a lot of people don't have that want to learn from others, being wrong and being corrected. You know, so I'm talking a lot, my friend. Did I answer your question, Ray, fully? Or do you have any other question you want to ask me, my friend?
Oh, a lot of good information you just shared.
Anything else before I go to the other people's questions, Ray?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any other question you wish to ask me before to go to other callers' questions?
No, I know the hammer is going to come down. I'm just wanting to find the best way to attack it when it does.
Because, well, let me tell you this. You haven't followed all these years, Ray, 2003 forward. We should go over all that, all these years, the last 13 years that you got, and the future, my friend. So let's do what I suggest to you, my friend, do a one-on-one private consultation. It's $240 cash only. And for 1 hour for $240, I will go over all your paperwork and all your questions. And 98% of the time, within 1 hour, I can tell you exactly what your situation is, what's going to happen if you do nothing. If you do something, what are your options? And each of your options cost, risk, rewards, and benefits. So you make an intelligent decision where to go forward from there. And if you want to upgrade later on to the, you know, like the other programs we got, the Quick Start Freedom Package, Royal Simple Freedom Package, all that, you will get full credit because they all come with consultation anyhow. So what I'm interested in, folks, is having a relationship with more of you who are freedom-minded so that you win and you tell other people resistance to tyranny can work. Join the peaceful revolution. Educate yourself. Educate your friends, family members, people in your community. Be an example of leadership and winning. And let's have this revolution go by word of mouth and by example. You know? So I think that would be the best way for you to go forward, my friend, to win and have peace of mind that you're looking for.
Okay, that sounds great.
Okay. Very good, my friend. Let me go to the next caller, Ray, from area code 941. Area code 941 caller, what is your name, my friend?
Hi, it's John from Venice, Florida.
Don't have a question, my friend. Thank you for listening, my friend. And I will get to the subject of the call later on about buying a home without a tax return, my friend. Thank you. Let's go with the call from area code 614. If you have a question, call from area code 614. Please give me your first name and the state you're calling from.
Andrew from Columbus, Ohio.
Do you have a question, Andrew?
I see you're talking about national status, and I was just wondering, does that have any advantage?
Well, I don't talk about that. I used to talk about state versus U.S. citizenship. I used to say that the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution created a different class of citizen, separate and distinct from that of a state citizen. But I was wrong. That was a misunderstanding of the law on my part, and I wrote an essay back in 1994 correcting myself. It's still available, called U.S. versus or V. Period. State Citizenship Theory Reconsidered. If you put it on your search engine, State versus U.S. Citizenship Reconsidered, it will come up. And but that's a common argument out there in the freedom movement, that somehow as a national citizen, a state citizen versus a U.S. citizen, you have a lot of rights, which as a slave, 14th Amendment created U.S. citizen, you do not have. That's just simply not so, my friend. And I go over that in our very first course of Freedom Law School, the level one course, over 20 hours of audio, an hour and a half video, 200 pages of paperwork and plus, all that and more. I can take my time to educate you about all these issues. And that's why the level one course and courses at Freedom Law School come with a 100% unconditional 90-day money-back guarantee. I will extend the 90 days to 6 months a year, just if you need to ask me, why? Why can I give you such a powerful guarantee? Unconditional, your choice, because I know it works. I know it's what you want. You know, I know it's what you need. Okay? I know you'll be happy with it, okay? So this theory is one of those things that I discuss in more detail. I go with an essay in the class orally and discuss it to make sure you understand it, my friend. Okay? So that's not an issue to hang your hat on. The real law, I teach you a field in law school so you can really win.
Yeah, because basically that's what I was wondering. You mentioned all the things that they talk about with the sovereign and everything like that. You know how to go about doing all that the right way, right?
Well, again, I don't do the citizenship theory at all because I don't think there's any right way to do that at all. That's just wrong. The whole approach is wrong. Just like Uniform Commercial Code, UCC arguments are wrong. Just like arguments about not using zip code on your mail or objecting to your name in capital letters or straw man and redemption, you know, arguments are wrong. You know, I don't do those things at all because they're just wrong.
But you got that's what I'm trying to figure out. You, all the theories that they saying, you know, is a way you can do it, but you know, just a more legal approach.
Well, an approach that will have you win, because remember, American over 200 years, we've gotten away from the vision of the founding fathers when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation and then the U.S. Constitution. We've changed. You know, America used to be a confederacy for 13 years before we formed the U.S. Constitution. You know, and the South was trying to do the same thing. They formed their own confederacy, which had every right to do, by the way. You know, so a lot of stuff that should work be that way today, they're not that way. I mean, let's face it, the 14th Amendment was never properly ratified, period. But guess what? The courts way back then, political courts after Lincoln upheld this constitutionality. And so it's not a joke. You know, it's there. I don't like it, but it's there. But I use it. I use it to sue policemen and government agents and judges and corrupt officials. I cannot get rid of it. Shouldn't be there, but if it's there, I'm going to try to use it. To our benefit, you know? So you got to use whatever tools are available for you to live free, whatever lawful tools are available.
Right. Okay, so basically, from my understanding, you know how to get the IRS off your back. I guess the legal way.
You got to get them off your back by any lawful means that are available to you. Bottom line, not the lawful means that were available 100, 200 years ago. Not lawful means that should have been available to you that are not available anymore, but whatever lawful means are available now for you to win.
Okay. And you got that course online there? Is that what you do like this? the one-on-one consultation?
Well, the course is called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, a course of action for those who are committed to living a free life, level one. There's a level two course after that as well. And so that's for $300, been that way for 17 years, same price. So that's the foundation of all of other courses and freedom packages of Freedom Law School. That's the one you start with no matter what. And then the one-hour consultation is $240. But if you combine the two, I call it the Quick Start Freedom Package. Oftentimes people want some education, but they need some quick help as well with their current situation, their challenge they're going through with the IRS or government. So you get them at a discount combined for only $490, with shipping included. So, you know, that's affordable for a lot of people to start it up, you know, and a lot of people cannot afford to start a Royal or Simple Freedom Package right away. So that's a good way for them to start. And you may want to start that way and go up from there if you wish.
Yeah, I'm going to consider that. I'll be giving you a call tomorrow. On that.
Very good, my friend.
Okay.
Any other questions before I go to our next caller, Andrew?
So when I do that, should I call or just go online and do it?
Just go to our website and then print out the form, order form for level one course, Quick Start Freedom Package, whatever it may be, and print it out, put your information on there, send it with the cash. Level one course is $300 plus $20 shipping. Quick Start Freedom Package is $490. One-hour consultation is $240. Send it in by priority mail. And make sure you have your phone number there. Very important, your phone numbers. And then you can call Freedom Law School with a tracking number. As soon as your package is received, you will be called. And we'll get on the phone and go over your questions, my friend. And a level one course will be sent to you.
Okay. And you said for $490, the phone consultation is included with the course, right?
That's right. For $490, get the course and the one-hour private consultation.
Okay. Well, damn, might be worth it. Well, I'll be giving you a hit you up probably tomorrow or something.
All right, my friend. Look forward to your call.
Go into this. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You are most welcome, Andrew. Hold on. You might find our next segment coming up interesting on how to buy a home without a tax return, my friend. Because I'm almost done with people with questions. I got to add one more call from area code 916 in Sacramento area before we talk about that issue buying a home without a tax return. Call from area code 916. If you have a question, please give me your first name and then your question, please.
First name is Al. This is my question. I don't know whether or not you care to discuss it. I know that you have in the past. I've listened to you in the past. That you've discussed the problems associated with the fake shootings in Florida.
Yes.
Wanted to find out if you care to share your thoughts in recent events as far as the shooting and the killing of unarmed people, youth, black youth in particular. Do you care to discuss that?
I'm not sure which part. Are you talking about that particular incident? What are you speaking about, Al? Can you be more specific, please, what you mean?
Well, you were talking about the Orlando shootings, but I'm talking in particular the black shootings recently where these kids have been killed by the police officers. That's just recently on the air.
I like to have an opinion about things if I know what I'm talking about, if I've done my homework. I've been very busy. Well, first of all, I relaxed a lot the weekend, and I followed up on the whole Clinton email scandal thing and what's going on with the election. I saw that headline. I haven't really looked at it closely, so I'm afraid I cannot give you my opinion in an intelligent way because I've not done my homework, my friend, on that issue with these recent things with the police that I saw online. I've seen them, but I haven't read about them.
Okay.
Well, maybe you discuss it another time.
Okay. You got it, my friend. You got it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Al. Okay, folks, let's go to the subject that I told you all I'll talk about, which is how to buy a home without a tax return. I guess I should give a little background on that. I came across in seminar in 2000, I was doing it in Atlanta, Georgia, this guy named Rich Diamond, who, after I did my seminar, told me, Payman, I know how to way you can buy a home without a tax return. Well, back in 1983, for about 6 months, I was a real estate mortgage agent when I was going to University of California studying business and finance. I never sold any because I was not a good salesman, but I learned a lot at least about the business and how it worked. And I was always good with numbers. I was a math student, naturally. I was good at math. So I listened to him. You know, I told him, let's drive with me on the way to the airport. Let me hear you out because I'm interested in the subject. I'm always interested in learning from other people, open-minded. Tell me about it. And the things he told me on the way to the airport all made sense. But, you know, in about half hour, 45 minutes, you know, how much can you get in detail? Something as detailed as that, because, you know, there's a lot of different angles that go into financing and real estate, all in real estate. So I told Rich, hey, I'm interested in what you say more. I'm open to you being right because it sounds right, but I want to get in more detail, understand about this, to really understand it much better. So we stayed in touch by phone after I went back to California, and he explained things a lot in more detail, and I understood, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about, and he is right about it. It can be done. It's doable. And I used to do back then from 1999 to 2014, I did annual freedom rallies, where I brought about a dozen or more different great speakers talking about different issues of freedom oriented, like Congress and Ron Paul and others. And so I had him come in and speak, talk to close to 200 people about the subject in about maybe 50 minutes. He could talk. A lot of people liked what he had to say. And then wanted him to come do a full-fledged, detailed seminar on how we can do it. Because a lot of people that come to my seminars, events, you know, followers, non-followers, I get them all. So I arranged with Rich Diamond to come do a whole weekend class on how to do this thing, how to buy a home without tax returns, no use of your SS number, no credit, very little, no money down, and no bank loans. And he did the class. And there was about 20 plus people. We stuffed them all into my garage, on my house, literally. You know, hey, we save some money that way. And we did the class. And again, we were all impressed. I was impressed. My wife was impressed that, hey, what he does, it works. That was in 2001. And so, you know, Rich Diamond kept doing this thing for a few years, and the course was recorded on audio tape. Rich Diamond, after a few more years of doing this, kind of like year 2000, I think it was at 6 or something, kind of disappeared. I heard from somebody, rumor, maybe he got married a successful rich woman or something. He's not doing it anymore. And we did not stay in touch. So, over the time, over years, people would ask me once in a while, again, how to buy a house. I don't file tax confession forms. You know, the banks want to, you know, tax return before they give you a loan. Without a loan, you can practically not buy a house. So what do I do? Well, Rich Diamond would disappear. So what I did about a year and a half ago, I said, you know what? Okay, guys, I'm going to do a course on it myself because I learned from Rich Diamond how to, you know, what it is, why it works, how to do it. I'm not as good as him. I don't have as much experience as he does, but I know about it. It's done a lot, you know, and I've helped others, you know, on occasions do it as well. So I did the class, and I required to record it in Florida. It was over a year ago. And made it available to others. The course is about, I think, three and a half hours long. And what I do in there is show you that, number one, it's very doable. It's not pie in the sky. It's not somebody deceiving you. It is actually doable. You will understand and know this actually is very doable, and you can do it too. Two, I'll explain to you fundamentals of why it works and how it works. Because the more you understand the fundamentals of how it works and why it works, the more you can see yourself having success and getting your own home without a tax return as well. But the program is is not one where I can give it to you and then you don't need anybody's help. The first time doing it, because the paperwork on this, the legal stuff, the real estate legal stuff, is got to be done correctly and properly. Probably the negotiations, you may need some help also the first time around or second time around. So I told people, look, the course will show you how it works, how it's doable, how you can do it, but you're still going to need help, you know, when you want to do it the first time or two. And then I can help you with that, or someone else I can refer you that can do that for you. And then you can do it yours on your own completely. But the first step is you got to get that course so you can take your time to see how it works and why it works. And then if you really want, you want to pursue it further, which I have no reason why you wouldn't want to, then you go forward from there. The course is available for $130 plus $10 for priority mail shipping. And so, and I give you a little bit of why it works, for example, okay? On this call, one of the problems in real estate, which started, I think, in the 1970s, is before 1970s, all loans, real estate loans, were assumable. In other words, a loan contract is a two-way contract. Both of you can assign your part of the deal to somebody else to take over your obligations and your benefits. The lender can sell your loan to somebody else. Well, as a borrower, you could do the same thing. You could say, hey, my cousin is going to take over my home loan, right? If not, you can take the house. But the banks, I believe sometime in 1970s, started saying, changing the contracts, that the loans were not always assumable by somebody else. The lender, the bank, they could sell you their part to somebody else, but you couldn't. And if you don't agree to it, they won't lend you the money to begin with. So before that time, it was easy for someone to take over your loan. You want to sell your house, the loan went with it. They just took over your own loan. You were still responsible for the loan if the other guy didn't sometimes, but they stopped doing that. Well, what happened is that a lot of senior citizens were putting their homes in trusts, in living revocable trusts. A trust is an entity where, you know, you put the house in this trust, this entity, that the trustee runs it. They have control of it, but the trustee doesn't own it. It's not for their benefit. The beneficiary owns it, actually. It's for the benefit of the beneficiary, but the trustee runs it. A traditional trust, regular trust, the trustee and beneficiary are different people. But in a living revocable trust, you are the trustee and the beneficiary. You're an old couple, 75-year-old. Your wife is 75. You're 80 years old. So, and if one of you dies, the other one becomes the beneficiary and the trustee. So, and if you, and then your wife dies also, your spouse dies, it goes to your children, for example. They become the beneficiary and the trustee. So you avoid probate. You avoid probate is where if you die, your assets have to be distributed to your heirs or family members through the court. These living and revocable trusts avoided that. need to go to probate court. You saved your heirs, your family members money, you know, and hassle and after you passed away. So a lot of senior citizens will do this. And when they put the house in the trust, but what happened is that the bank would say, well, the house is no longer in your name. It's not an assumable loan. We're going to call the loan. That means you have to pay the entire loan off now. The entire balance of the loan, you have to pay it now. Well, senior citizens were shocked. And in some occasions, they would lose the house. But usually, they just put the house back under their own name. And they would lose that estate planning that they were doing with the trust. So a lot of these older people went to Congress, you know, and they say, hey, we don't, you know, this is wrong. We're not wrong. So the Congress passed a law and that essentially said that, hey, that when the banks have non-assumable loans, okay, that if the person puts the house in a revocable trust, okay, where the person is still there, the beneficiaries themselves, they still own it themselves, okay, then the bank cannot call the loan, cannot demand that the whole loan be paid just because the house is not in the borrower's name. It's in a trust that the is still owned by the person who took out the loan, the homeowner. The law is a Garn St. Germain Depository Institutions Act. It's a long law. It's 12 U.S.C. section 1701J-3. It's got a lot of different provisions. But that part basically says that in these situations, the banks cannot call the loan. So this is a key way that you can basically take over the loan by them putting in the trust. And from the trust, then it could be passed on to you, without the loan being called by the bank. Now, there's a lot more on this, and again, the seminar whole thing takes 3-3.5 hours. But I just gave you that because you didn't know about this law, what the name of it is, what code section it is. You didn't know about all this background of the real estate industry on what's an assumable loan versus a non-assumable loan. You didn't know how this, you know, the banks will call the whole loan, force you to pay all of it. If it's not in your name, you cannot just have someone take over your loan. All this kind of stuff and more that I've been telling you, folks, is the stuff that you need to know. And on your own, who knows when you're going to learn this kind of stuff. For some smart, experienced real estate agent, a broker, or investor you come across one-on-one who might teach you this stuff, great. You know, in fact, there's these guys on there on the internet. You've seen over the years in these guys on TV that do these real estate courses. They do how you can buy real estate, become a millionaire in real estate. And I've heard good things about many of these courses from people. And they're good courses, I've heard. The only problem with those courses is that what they do – over 90% of the time, the stuff that they do is more geared to people who file and pay income tax. And I believe to different degrees they cover this technique also. But I focus on this technique because it is for people who don't file and pay income tax. You have no tax return, you know. I don't talk about all the other techniques they do because those are for people who file and pay income tax. But you can get those courses if you want to. They're good too. You can learn a lot from them. I haven't gotten them, but I heard good things about them. But this course is focused on that. And if you're interested in buying a home to live at or to invest, that's the course you want to take. Also, if you're somebody, on the other hand, if you are a person with money and you don't want to put your money in the bank and get less than 1% interest on your money or put in bonds, make less than 1% of your money. Or put it in the stock market, and it's very risky, go up and down. You don't want to put it in commodities because that's a risky investment. No, you don't want to put in gold because you got maybe some gold coins, and gold doesn't go up that much necessarily. Sometimes does, sometimes doesn't, depending on the situation. It went up a few years ago up to $1,800 an ounce. It went down to almost $1,050, and it's back up to about $1,350 now. You know, got ups and downs. You want to get a good, safe, dependable return, good return on your money, like about right now it's about 10-12%. You can become a hard money lender, lending on real estate situations, which are very safe. You could, somebody buys a good home situation, you lend them money. If they don't pay you, you take the house with a lot of equity from them. So they don't want to mess it up. They want to pay you because you don't lend unless there's a lot of equity in there as a cushion for you as an investor. So I'll talk about that also. Basics of how you can do that if that is your interest, because that's the other side of the coin. Because these a lot of times you will need these hard money lenders, private investors to help you get a house instead of getting the traditional bank loan. These private investors could help you get a home that you want to get that otherwise you have no way of getting. So you may be interested in the course if you're someone with money who wants to invest and get good 10-12% interest on your money, you know, or a little bit more than that. And hassle-free, risk-free, you don't have to go find a house and check it out. You want to just hey, I'm just lend the money and then just pay me monthly payments, dependable, easy, no hassle. So that's also the course serves that purpose for you as well. So with that, folks, I know some of you, like I think James from Tech, I know somebody on the call had a question on that, but anyway, I don't think that was. So that's basically it, folks. That's how that course works. And right now is still a good time to buy real estate because real estate goes up and down in cycles with the economy. The market, it was going on from 96 to 2006, practically straight up the whole 11 years. It was a little minor dip in 2002 and 3, but that wasn't much. And 2006, the market started going down. It crashed in 2008, 9, 10, 11 was the bottom of it. In 2012-13, different parts of the country, real estate started going up, and it's been going up since. And we are in a new – within this Great Depression, which is going to last on altogether 15, 20 years probably from 2007. I said it back then. I'll say it now. This Great Depression will be 15, 20 years long approximately. So we're in a recession in this again. The economy was a little bit better last year. 2014-15 were a little bit better. 16 is down again. We got more unemployment happening even now. So it's still a good time to buy houses. You know, houses, when you make more money when they go up. Although in the down market, you can make money too because you can find better opportunities, deals to buy a home, which is a good opportunity. So you can make money in real estate, whether it's going up or down. So I'm going to see if you guys have any questions, folks. About this subject, I'm going to ask you a couple of your quick questions before I go. James from Texas, area code 512 or 941 area code caller. Do either of you two have a question? If so, please ask me now, gentlemen.
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
One,
which one has a question? Which one are you, my friend?
This is James.
Yes, James. What question do you have, my friend?
It's not actually a question. The gentleman that was after me asking about he was going to get a sum of money from a business venture.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe in Irwin Schiff's book, The Federal Mafia, he made reference to a bank in Las Vegas that was privately owned. It would not release any information of bank accounts to the IRS without a court order.
That was way old back then. I know about that. That was a small bank in Nevada back about, 2002 it was, about 14 years ago. And that issue initially in a local court. Now, they would not levy. They would not levy the person's money to the IRS. They would not send his money to the IRS. They want to get a verification from the IRS that he owes them the money. And he gave his statement under oath, declaration he owes the IRS nothing, and the bank asked the IRS to clarify before they took his money. Then, but when it take court, the case went to the higher level court. The higher level court shot down Irwin Schiff's follower.
Right, but if I'm not mistaken, so he actually gave the name of the bank.
That doesn't apply because you know that's reporting and levy are two different things. They all report to government where your money is. Banks, tell the IRS for your money's like just like that.
Typically, yes. I could be mistaken, but I was thinking that in that book, Federal Mafia, he mentioned a bank that was privately owned that would not release information or money.
No, there's different information. They all do. In fact, it used to be that up until back then, maybe before 2001, well, if you had non-interest bearing account, they wouldn't know about your bank account because there was no 1099 going to the IRS.
Uh-huh.
About reporting your money. But since then, somehow, I don't know exactly what they did, but they do know about your money, even if you don't have a non-interest-bearing account. I think they report them by your SS number to the government. I'm not sure how they do it, but I believe that's how it is. But no, that doesn't work anymore. And that will not help Ray. There's a lot more stuff Ray got prepared and beyond understanding going on than just that alone. That will not be a silver bullet. See, a lot of people look for the simple silver bullets. And I wish it was that simple, but it's not. Those are good steps, perhaps that could help you, assist you, but not any one of them by themselves. That's why Freedom Law School, it's a combination of education, combination of support, consultation, combination of handling letters for you, supporting you with you know, helping you do the right responses, combination of writing to your Congress and senators from a political end to change the system back to the Constitution. You know? So, okay. Any other questions before I go to all the callers with questions, James?
I've got a couple of friends. We've been bouncing around all this freedom of information in the city of Austin for a little while, a few months, I should say. One is convinced that the best route is to buy gold and hide it. Another one is convinced to buy equipment and keep it for later. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, of those two options, I like gold coins better.
Uh-huh.
Because they're liquid.
Sure, and they won't decrease in value.
And they won't decrease in value because equipment loses value because it becomes an older model. Technology's changed so fast. And equipment that was top of the line, equipment technology, in a few more years, it will not be that. Plus, no one's going to pay the same as your price of a new car or new equipment. So definitely I would say gold coins are better. And again, and it depends how much money you got also. Maybe coins are better. Silver coins may be better. If you have more, you may want to become a hard money lender. If you have $50,000 or more to invest, you may want to become a hard money lender and make 10-12% or more on your money. You could do that too.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of agree with you on that one because my buddy there in Buda, he was talking about buying equipment. He said, I can get backhoes, I can get dozers and store them, and I'll have them for later use when the economy crashes totally.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, that may be 20 years, and maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years, and it may not run anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the problem with stuff is that you buy anything, you're not going to get what you paid for. Unless you're going to be sharper, get a good deal on it. If you get something really cheap, yeah, you can do that. If you find some really good deal on something, sell it for more, yeah, you can do that. Sure. Just like buying a car, a used car. You get a good deal on a used car, you can sell it for more later because you got a good deal when you bought it. You can do that. Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, my friend. You're welcome, my friend. Let me see if all the people have a couple of questions and get answered. A call from area code 702 and Andrew in Ohio. Do you guys have any questions?
No question.
Not. Oh, you have a question?
Nope.
No question. Okay. Let's go to the other two calls we have from Al in Northern California and the call from area code 917. Do you have any questions either of you gentlemen?
You said 917 or 916?
Both of you, 916 and 917. I get two at a time. Do either of you have a question?
No, it's very intriguing, but I don't have a question, no.
Okay, very good. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for calling Freedom Law School's weekly commerce calls. And I invite you to tell other people about us. And by the way, one thing I'm going to be doing, just to give you a tip, I'm going to have put something together when I get a chance in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, to write to the Washington, D.C. grand jury about Hillary Clinton and ask the U.S. attorney to give our complaints to the grand jury to investigate. Okay, and the U.S. attorney has to give that to the grand jury in Washington, D.C., and the grand jury is regular people like you and I. Hopefully that's something that will, you know, get these crooked people, you know, who murder, I say murderous crooked people, because Hillary and Bill Clinton have killed, literally murdered a lot of people. But land these people in jail, hopefully for the crimes they've committed. So with that, folks, thank you for calling. It's been a pleasure to speak with you all tonight, and I look forward to being back with you next Thursday night, same time, same station. Good night, everybody.